Welcome to our service this morning, those of you who are here and those of you who are watching online. And I have to say I'm very much looking forward to hearing Ranjini share her story this morning, because I've heard little bits of it before and it's a great story. There's a reminder for us this morning from Psalm 23, which we'll sing a little later in the service. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. That's not some days, it's not one day or another, it's all the days of our lives. The goodness of the Lord and his love follows us. Let's stand and sing together as we do.
His praise fills the earth, fills the heavens, and your name.
Lord God, we praise you and thank you for your greatness, for the ways in which you dwell within each of us, for the life that you have given us, the hope you've given us, the love that you've given us, the forgiveness. Help us, Lord, to live our lives to your glory. And though we do not do that perfectly, and there are times, Lord, that we trip up, fall over, we get back up again and acknowledge you, acknowledge your presence in our lives, acknowledge the reality that we are a forgiven people through and through every day. Amen. I approach the throne of glory. Nothing in my hands I bring, but the promise of acceptance from a good and gracious King. I will give to you my burden, as you give to me your strength. Come and fill me with your Spirit as I sing to you this praise. You deserve the greater glory. Overcome, I lift my voice to the King in need of nothing. Empty-handed, I rejoice. You deserve the greater glory. Overcome with joy, I sing. By your love, I am accepted. Oh, what grace that you would see me as your child and as your friend, safe, secure in you forever. I pour out my praise again. Deserve the greater glory. Overcome, I lift my voice to the King in need of nothing. Empty-handed, I rejoice. You deserve the greater glory. Overcome with joy, I sing. Accepted, you're a good and gracious King. Holy, holy, Lord Almighty, good and gracious, good and gracious, holy. Come, I lift my voice.
of the greater glory. Overcome with joy I sing. By your love I am accepted. You're a good and gracious King.
Amen. Please take your seat. We're going to sing a version of Psalm 23 that we sang, I think, for the first time here, although some of you may have known it before that, a few weeks back. I've been pondering Psalm 23 a little bit this week in anticipation of Renjini speaking this morning. And I discovered that it was written probably about 3,000 years ago by David. And I don't know whether he wrote it as a shepherd boy or as a king, of which he was both. But it's just a remarkable psalm, and we've repeated it. It's been repeated over and over again for 3,000 years. And that knowledge of the safety and the security of God in our lives.
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still, still waters. His goodness restores my soul, and I will trust in you alone, and I will trust in you alone, for your endless mercy follows me, your goodness will lead me home. Guides my ways in righteousness, and he anoints my head with oil, and my cup, it overflows with joy. I feast on his pure delights, and I will trust in you alone, and I will trust in you alone, for your endless mercy follows me, your goodness will lead me home. And though I walk the darkest path, I will not fear the evil one, for you are with
again. Some notices. The grapevine, you will have received a copy either as you came in or by email on Thursday or Wednesday. Just for the people who are watching online, if you haven't got the grapevine, it is available on our website. So if you go to the website, you'll find the copy of the grapevine with all the notices in it and the happenings for the church. And the website for the vines is, one word, thevinesunitingchurch.com. So look it up if you haven't done so already. Just in relation to a couple of things that are in the grapevine, this week, a wonderful celebration tomorrow for Alan Waitman and no doubt Nancy as well. Alan turns 100 tomorrow. So Alan and Nancy, if you're watching either now or later, from all of us here, it's a wonderful achievement and a very happy birthday to you, and we hope you have a great celebration tomorrow, however that unfolds. God's blessings to you. Can we give Alan a clap? I don't know. Yeah. Woo! Thank you. And just a couple of things that are happening this week on the 24th of September, which is Tuesday. Circle of Friends is here from 1:30 till 3. If you want some more information on that, you can give Varela a call or have a chat with her. You can't call Jackie because she's away at the moment. Tuesday from 1:30. And then on Friday, the 27th, this Friday, Friday Friends is happening from 10 to 11:30. So if you're free to come to that, come along, bring a friend, have some food, coffee and conversation, and enjoy. Is there one more Creative Connection this week, Rob, or has school holiday started? So Creative Connection also on Thursday morning from 9:30 till 11:30. And that's all I wanted to include there. Wendy Fittock would like to share something with us about Christmas boxes.
Good morning, church family. Well, it's that time of year again when our thoughts turn to the Christmas boxes. While many of you are familiar with the wonderful work of the Christian organisation Samaritan's Purse, for those who don't know, this is an opportunity to give to those who are less fortunate in underprivileged communities throughout the world in the form of a shoebox of love crammed with presents. Christmas boxes and pamphlets like these are now available in the foyer for your collection, and we would like them to be returned by Sunday the 20th of October, so we've got 4 weeks. On the pamphlet there's lots of information, and you're asked to choose whether you'd like your gift to go to a boy or a girl and in what age category. There's also a helpful list of gifts that you might like to include, such as toys, clothing, personal care items, school supplies or accessories. We're all feeling the extra cost of living expenses, and in the light of this, we're asked to give $12.50 towards postage and handling of each box. A few people have already asked me if we're doing the Christmas boxes this year, and I'm aware that it is a little bit later than usual, but we wanted to fit in with the pantry 152, and I know that everybody's been very generous to the pantry as well, which is wonderful. Some people may find it difficult to get to the shops, so there's several ways that you can contribute, whether it be items placed in the boxes that are provided on the table in the foyer, money for postage and handling, and that could go to either myself or Sandra Stone, putting together a box or boxes, or donating electronically as indicated on the pamphlet. Our church has always responded generously to this ministry. It's a wonderful opportunity to share God's love and to plant seeds of his love in the hearts of many young people around the world. Last year, over 11 million shoeboxes were packed. 218,215 were packed in Australia and New Zealand. And in 2023, shoeboxes were sent to Cambodia, Fiji, the Philippines, Ukraine and Papua New Guinea. If you're watching this service from home and would like to donate money or a box, please don't hesitate to call me, Wendy Fittock, and my number is in the church newsletter as well as in the church directory. Congratulations, congregations. This is our 21st year of giving to this ministry. So many opportunities to reach out and share God's love in a practical way. And I'd just like us to pray as a congregation over the boxes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the ministry of Samaritan's Purse and the opportunity it presents to share the good message of Jesus and God's love to many communities around the world. May the Christmas boxes and the following discipleship program called The Greatest Journey be a practical message of hope and love, and perhaps a catalyst for change. Lord, we know that individually our contributions seem small, but together we can achieve great things in your name. Lord, we know that these are challenging times for many, and so we understand the importance of giving and receiving. Help these Christmas boxes sow seeds of love in the hearts of many young people. May the gifts inside bring joy and laughter. Thank you for your abundant, generous love and the opportunity to pass it on. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thanks, Adrian.
Thanks, Wendy. That's a big number. Started hearing angelic music. Just a couple more things. I occasionally have a little... Sorry, were you playing something? Oh, I beg your pardon. Go on.
The land that I'm sitting on right now used to be known as the killing fields, where people were murdered, women were raped constantly, and this community called Calgary was one of the worst. But it's now completely changed. It's now a safe area. And we anticipate the same thing would happen in each of the communities that we take the greatest journey into.
Sin is terrible and God is completely.
Now, the Greatest Journey is a fantastic discipleship program that is an extension of the Operation Christmas Child program. It starts with a shoebox and ends up with a child with a Bible in their hand. Over 50% of the children that undertook the study gave their lives for the first time to Jesus Christ. We're not now just telling them Jesus loves them and then pack up and leave, but now we are staying for another 12 weeks in the villages to teach them about Jesus Christ. So, you know, on a pastoral point of view, this is fantastic. And it's great because we are teaching them from 7 years and above. The fruits of the Greatest Journey Discipleship Program would bear fruit in about 5 years.
I learned about God created heaven and earth.
I learned more about Jesus' love for me.
I learned Jesus is my friend.
The Word of God would bring hope to what is hopeless, to bring light to what is filled with darkness. Children are not no longer turning to drugs, they're not no longer turning to lawlessness, but now can contribute towards nation building and make not only their community, but Papua New Guinea a better country and society.
There is no strings attached to what we do. We want you to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want the children to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Sorry about jumping in too soon. Just a couple more things. I have a little chat every now with David Pryor via Messenger on our phones. And just recently, in the last week or two, he said to me, I'm plodding along, back driving. So that's breathing is still a drama, although the lungs have been cleared of any damage. That's a relief. So I keep working hard. So if you're able to, please keep praying for David in this ongoing journey of his. He's made remarkable mileage across the year and nearly a year and a half. And I just want to put on the joint nominating committee hat for a moment. As you would know, the committee was in conversation with someone as a possibility of coming to the Vines, but that person has withdrawn from the process, which is a little sad in some ways, but they've said that I'm not hearing yes from Jesus. And I think for us as a congregation, and for whoever comes to minister to us in time, it's important that we hear the yes from Jesus and that they hear the yes also. And at the moment, withdrawing, as they did late last week, allows the Vines the opportunity to be considered again by the Placements Committee of the UCA, which meets tomorrow. So if you think of it tomorrow across the day, please pray for the Placements Committee. If you want to be really specific in praying about the church and the minister we're looking for, we need someone who's happy to work 0.7. That's the issue. We can't afford to pay someone full time, but 0.7 will do that. And the remaining time, we've actually been covering, whether you realise it or not, in the journey we've had across these year and a bit since David left us, the gaps are being filled pastorally, in preaching, in worship, and in the various programs that the church has. So, yep, it's not happening this time, but be encouraged. God, I'm sure God has someone for us. And if you pray for me, Marge and Wendy, as well as our part of the committee, and Simon and Kay, who are from the presbytery. So thank you. We're going to bring our offerings to the Lord just now with a great old hymn, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." God, we praise you for your faithfulness to us. In our journey, Lord, as a community here in Woodcroft, but in our journey with you as part of your church that is universal, it's vast and great, and in the midst of your church is your faithfulness and your greatness. And so, Lord, we thank you and bring our offerings to you this morning that Sam and Elaine are holding, the offerings that have been given online. And we pray, Lord, that you will enable us to use what we bring effectively and to your glory as we seek to reach beyond the walls of this building. And for all these things, Lord, we give you praise and thanks. Amen. Amen. Please take your seats.
As we come to our prayer time today, I want to do things a little differently from what I do normally do. And during the week, I came across a prayer of a French priest called Michel Croix. I first came across him in the 60s, and I always felt when I read his material that it was quite relevant. But here I'd like to bring his prayer to you with the hope that it might be your prayer as we share together. It's a prayer where he asks for forgiveness, he comes with thanksgiving, and he also seeks the guidance of God, but it's not too long. Then I want to follow that with some suggestions for our silent prayers in the congregation, and following that we shall share in the Lord's Prayer. So let's pray together. Father, let all become aware that they are your willing collaborators in the work of creation. Lord, today I ask your forgiveness for the places that will remain empty in your vineyard, for needs that are created artificially, for talents that will never be developed, for the countless workers, your children, who will be deprived of the development that you want them to have, for my own lack of fervour in trying to find out what you want of me, and for my lack of generosity in neglecting to try as hard as I can to be what you want me to be. Lord, I thank you for the talents you've given me, for the physical and intellectual gifts I received, for the education I received, for the opportunities I have to choose the profession that I want. Lord, let me be like putty in your hands. Let me accept your guidance through events so that, conscious of the real needs of others, I may discover what you are waiting for me and the path that you want me to play through my work in the completion of your creation. Amen. So we bring our prayers. Could we pray for the world as we view so many tragedies and so much need? Could we pray for our own country, that it may be an example of justice and care amid harsh surroundings? Let us pray for our community and seek blessings for the many who give their lives in service. Oh, and we need to pray for our church, especially as it seeks a new minister and does its best to serve our community. Let us pray for our friends, especially those who have suffered loss of loved ones or who are facing tough times. And pray to God as you seek to deal with special needs of your own. And now we pray the prayer that our Lord gave us as an example. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
The Bible reading this morning is taken from Paul's letter to the Philippians, from chapter 4, verses 4 to 13. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Okay, it's that moment. Ranjini's going to come and share with us. As I wrote in the grapevine, Ranjini shared her story to music practice several months ago. I can't remember when it was, Rob might. But we were really taken by the wonder and the joy that kind of came out of Ranjini. I hope I'm not setting you up too much. And it's a great story. So come on, your turn. Thanks, Ranjini.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Jeremiah 29, verse 11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a future and a hope." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to stand before your people and give a little piece of my story. The ways you have helped us, the ways you were with us, and the ways you delivered us. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for this opportunity that through my words and through what you have done for me, that you may reach and touch others, that you may be able to shed a light and encourage others who are going through difficult things and times in life. I ask, Lord Jesus, that we listen to your word with an open mind and heart, reach deep into our souls, and find the peace and hope that we are searching for. In Jesus' name, amen. Firstly, before I go into my testimony, I'm not sure if everyone knows a bit about myself. So I just thought I'd share a bit of my background first so you know where I'm coming from. I mean, you know where I'm coming from, but still, where I'm really coming from. And a bit of the background behind everything. So I come from a Christian home. We are from Kerala, from the southern tip of India. And we come from a family that has been Christian for as long as I can remember ancestrally. But my dad used to say, maybe about 10, 15 generations before, we were Hindus and we were Brahmins. And I shudder to think sometimes if things were like that and if those first ancestors of mine never heard the word of God, I would not be here or be this person that I am today. So a little bit of the back history is that in AD 52, Saint Thomas the Apostle, traveled to India and came to the region called Malabar in Kerala, where he established 7 churches. He evangelized a lot of Hindu people there, and a lot of people were open to the message because it was a new and strange message to what they were familiar with. They worshipped, as you know, more than 200 million gods. And everything that was different, unnatural, was something of an awe to them. So for them to hear of a living God, not in a stone or a statue, but a living God, one that was personal, one that actually tore the barriers and stepped onto earth, it was confounding for them. So my ancestors had to leave their hometown, leave their family, leave everything they knew. They were even threatened to be murdered because changing the religion was a huge taboo thing. They were disinherited from their families. They had to run away or else be killed. So this is about maybe 20 generations before. I don't know how long, to be honest. But this is the story my dad used to say to us when we were little. Growing up, though, it was a very different experience because I come from Marthoma Church, which basically means from the Apostle Thomas, Marthoma. So that's where, that's a sect. It's like the Syrian Orthodox. There was a lot of interaction between Persia and India in those days. So a lot of missionaries, a lot of evangelism mixed a bit of the culture. So we do have a liturgy that we follow, which is called the Syrian Orthodox, Malankara Syrian Orthodox liturgy that we have. It's very much similar to an Anglican kind of a concept. But in the end of the day, we are all God's family. We are all part of God's church. So I grew up in my family very different. I was born in Kuwait. My parents had moved to Kuwait for work, and we ended up growing there. We had the protection of our parents. We didn't have any other issues growing up. We, like every other family, we all had our moments. You know, we had brought up in a very good education, good community, strong community. We went to church, we went to Sunday school, we learned about God. But to be honest, we learned about God only because our parents were pushing us. Because as children, we didn't quite fully understand what was going on. Then one day, the inevitable happened. So I would like to bring this testimony in three points or three lessons I learned in my life. The first lesson I learned was trust God in your weaknesses. I've always been a bit on the shyer side. It's been hard for me to come up, talk in front of people, let alone sometimes come on stage to sing. But I've always struggled with that to some degree. And when I was little, around 8 years old, there was an incident that changed our life forever. Many of you would have heard that or definitely know about that. As you know, on the 2nd of August 1990, Iraq invaded Kuwait. And my family, among the many millions of Indian families and many expatriates, were in Kuwait at that time. And my family had to escape the country and travel back to India somehow. The airports were bombed, so we could not fly out. There were bombs going everywhere, and it's very hard to experience or explain that. But I can only say that I'm glad I was just a child, because I didn't understand anything that was going on. And it was just probably fascinating for me and a bit weird, although I knew something was off. But I was very happy because school was no longer there. So that was my highlight. But anyway, through one of the passages, we had to travel by bus. And from Kuwait, we had to travel to Baghdad, which is just into Iraq. And every 2 hours, the bus would stop, and these Iraqi soldiers would come into the bus and confiscate whatever they see. They would ask anyone to remove their jewelry or open their bags. They would take the things. And if you didn't listen, well, you can imagine what may have happened. Anyway, we were seated at the very back of the bus, and myself and my brothers and sisters were at the very back, and this soldier comes up in the bus, and he's got his full armor with all the bullets and machine gun and everything, and he inspects the bus. And because I was pretty small, I couldn't see him. My brother was saying, check out the soldier. Look at the guns he's got. That's pretty cool. So I just stood up on top of the chair. I can't see him. I stood up on the top of the chair, and he saw me. So he came all the way to the back, and he pointed the gun at me, and he said to me, "Do you like Saddam Hussein?" And my sister was pinching me on the side, saying, "Idiot, speak up, say that you don't like him. Look what he's done to Kuwait. Look at all the damage and, you know, all the horrible things he has done. Say no." But I just stared at him and I just smiled. I didn't say anything. I just looked at him and I smiled. After a few minutes, he just walked away. Years after that, I started regretting, thinking, why didn't I say anything? That was pretty clumsy of me. Why didn't I open and say something? But I realized how, at that moment, even though I was a child, even though I didn't understand what was going on, how my God protected and kept me still. Because you see, 2 Corinthians says, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness." If I had spoken that day, if I had said anything, it doesn't matter whether he would have liked my answer or not, I think it would have changed the course of my life, even my family's. So I'm grateful that I was silent at that point, because just like how God silenced the lions in Daniel's den, he kept me silent too. The second lesson I learned was a bit later in my life, and this is to trust in God's provision. Now, I'm not sure if many of you are aware, but I had an arranged marriage. Tiju and I, we both kind of knew each other for a little while, but by all Australian standards, I think it would be considered an arranged marriage. Pretty much 3 months into courtship, we got engaged, and 4 days after, we got married. So it was a pretty quick shift in my life, in both our lives, to be honest. So earlier in our marriage, there was a lot of struggle. There was a lot of struggle for him and me, because we had to adjust to this new life as a couple. And we had to accept each other's differences, ways of upbringing, family, responsibilities. There were so many things that I was not accustomed to, he was not accustomed to, but we just had to make it work. And it was a lot of struggle. It was a lot of struggle. And I remember those early days where it was very hard, where I used to cry out to the Lord and ask, how and why and how can I get through this? And why is this happening? And in one of those days of anguish, I had a vision. I had a dream, and the only way I can explain that is I really felt that it was not a dream. It was in flesh, like I could literally feel I was there. And in the vision, I could feel I was taken up in the clouds. And I came to this point where there was bright light all around me. And I could not lift my head up. I just could not lift my head up. And I knew immediately I was in the presence of Jesus. I could not see him, only there was too much light. And I could not lift my head up. My head was bowed down. And the realization that I was in the presence of Jesus was because I could not stop crying. I could not stop crying. And I could feel his love shower over me. And I believe there was a conversation, but to be honest, I don't fully remember what it was. Something related to my questions and my anxieties that I was going through. But in the end, Jesus said one thing to me. He said, I do not put him in your life, but I put you in his life. And at that moment, all I could think was, God has that much faith in me. That he would trust me. To be a blessing to another person. Sorry. Floodgates are opening. But ever since that, I realized that for each of us, we have a purpose. And everything that happens in our life happens for a reason. We don't quite fully understand it. We may never be able to fully understand why he does certain things in our lives and how certain things comes to be in our lives. But in the end, God is looking after us. And he will deliver us. We just need to trust in God's provision. Sometimes we worry too much about what we don't have in our lives, so much that we miss the most precious provisions he has already placed in our lives. Later down the track, we decided to migrate. We decided Kuwait was not the place for us because as adults, things were very different. Freedom was hard. You needed to have... A woman could not have a car license unless you were a certain profession. You had to be a doctor or you had to be a nurse. Otherwise, it was very hard to get a driver's license. Women were frowned upon if you were seen outside the house after 6 p.m. You had to be escorted by a male. Many such things. There was a lot of racial discrimination, and not giving value to who you are as a person. And we realized this is not the kind of future we wanted our children to grow in. We wanted a better future for them, where they had opportunities and a future. So on the 4th of September, we finally got our migration papers and our visa got approved. Now, this was a very exciting moment in our lives, but also one of the most important decisions we made in our lives. We knew we were going to do this by ourselves, without anyone else to support us or help us. Fear, uncertainty, and advices, well-meaning advices from others, but everyone or many people were kind of questioning, is that the right decision to do? However, it was certain in my mind that God had a higher plan for us, that he was calling us out of Kuwait, like how he called Abraham. We did not know a soul in Australia. We struggled to find a place to live when we arrived here. We went on endless house inspections only to be rejected, as we did not have a job at that time or proper references. It was quite a struggle. Also, all our cargo from Kuwait was due to arrive in 2 weeks' time, and we still hadn't got a house. Then one day before the scheduled arrival of our cargo, an agent rang us back asking if we were still interested in a rental property. Apparently, a selected application fell through, and ours was next in line. I could immediately sense the hand of God. I remember to this day the very first time we slept in our rental unit. We had no bed, no fridge, no couch, furniture, nothing. We could hear our echoes inside the house. We slept on the ground with just a piece, with a couple of bed sheets on the hard floor. And living in a unit, we could practically hear everyone who walked outside our door. But we did not care. Because for the first 3 weeks since we arrived here in Australia, we were able to sleep in peace, knowing that there was a roof over our heads and that we could stop scourging the newspapers or online for rental inspections. This was finally our home, and we finally had a place to call our own. The amazing provision God provided was just in time for our cargo too. The very next day, the deliverers called to ask where to drop off all our luggage and belongings. When we finally received our goods, it started to feel a little bit like we were getting our lives back on track. Then we had our next challenge, finding your way in a strange land. Titu had just taken a couple of months leave from his work because we had decided it wouldn't be sensible if both of us left our jobs and came here. In case one of us struggled, there'd still be some financial support. So he had to delay his return for 2 weeks further as I ended up spraining my ankle in one of the outdoor activities. When it was time for him to leave, it was hard, but I knew I had to be strong for both of us and our 18-month-old son. I had no driver's license, no car, no GPS. Recovering from a broken ankle and an 18-month-old in my hands. And I had to find my own way. First, I had to be a single mom and take him to daycare, often carrying him along as he would not be awake so early in the morning. I caught the bus, dropped him off to daycare, then took the next two buses to work and back. My day started each day at 4 a.m., and I had to report to the laboratory where I worked at 7:30 a.m., and had to catch three buses to get there finally. I cannot understand how I managed to do it at that time. It's incredible if you think about it. I also lost 15 kgs, believe it or not. I can only say that they were guardian angels watching over me and David. Not once did my son get ill, which itself is a miracle, especially since it was his first ever time in daycare. And after recovering from a broken ankle and the amount of pressure and stress on my body and legs, it was a miracle that I could do this day after day. God's hand was protecting us wherever we went. I won't deny that at times I was very overwhelmed. Nearly every day after I reached work, I would be in tears. Nobody knew how long and tiring my day had already been at 7:30 a.m. And looking after a toddler without his dad was challenging, to say the least. Finally, the day arrived when we were united as a family. Exactly 1 year since we got our visa approval, on the 4th of September, Titu joined us back in Adelaide. It was the happiest day in our home. I felt God slowly placing the pieces of the puzzle together and his plan for us becoming visible. The third lesson I learned is trusting in God even when you're going through the fire. There comes a time in everyone's life when we travel through the fire. This fire can be your relationship, your physical health, your life circumstances, financial worry, your past, etc. For me, it was my mental health. After a very tough time at work and working in a team that had no belief in God, I often felt I was persecuted for my faith, or even at odds with others on many opinions. The ostracizing of Christian faith and the blunt attitude of ridicule in conversations started to affect my emotional well-being at work. I was even questioning my skills and why I was even doing embryology work as a Christian. I felt I did not belong to this field. Then in 2022, I was informed that I was made redundant in a slow phasing off process that was made to look like a post-COVID layoff due to financial concerns. All of a sudden, my world came crashing down. My mental health suffered. I went into a deep, dark hole. I was struggling with my professional identity. After 18 years working in this field and loving what I did, I was now questioning what I was doing in my life. During this time of soul searching, I felt God calling me out of this field and asking and focusing on mental health in the community. So I became a community care worker. When I shifted the focus from me and started to focus on others going through mental struggles, I started to feel my pain ease a bit. I felt I could help them, even with a kind word, support, or just being a good listener. I met many amazing individuals during my time as a care worker. God placed me in a unique position that I could connect with them and empower them. Sometimes I even got the opportunity to speak about God to them. I say this because there are many people in our community struggling with mental health. It is a lot harder for those who do not know the Lord to go through such challenges. When we know God is with us during our dark moments and we keep our trust in Him, His light will shine through our darkness and give us new hope. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Fear, doubt, uncertainty is brought by the enemy into our minds so that we lose our focus on God's provision and start to trust in our own skills, abilities, or plans. When I think of how my God brought us out of Kuwait, out of all the familiarity, into a different land, I had no clue of what my future was going to be. I just had a will to succeed, hope in my heart, and put blind trust into my Savior's hands. I had no idea He had already placed the next 10 moves in my life's chessboard. Today, I stand here to testify that whatever I am today, it is because of my Lord and what He has done for me. Today, He has brought me back into the field that I love, working for an organization which is more like-minded and open to spiritual beliefs. The challenges and daily struggles are still there. But now I am grateful for it all. Because if it weren't for my struggles in my life, would I ever have experienced the Lord like I did? Only when a vessel is broken can light from within shine through. So I thank the Lord for my broken vessel, for the Lord has blessed me to be a blessing to others as well. I leave with this passage from Philippians chapter 4 that we have just read again, but I will read it again. It's one of my favorite ones. Rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the Lord of peace will be with you. God bless you all.
Ginny, thank you so much. What a wonderful story. And it's been a blessing and an encouragement to hear it this morning. And you know, from how old were you in the back of the bus with the gun pointed at you? Eight. An 8-year-old having a gun pointed at her, and the presence of God preventing anything untoward happening is just extraordinary, and the way God has taken you on your journey. And I think the takeaway, and I hope you've all got something to take away, and I'd encourage you to actually go online when the service is available online, if you want to, and have a listen to Ranjini's talk again. There is so much in it about the goodness of God and God's action in our lives, even in the times of darkness. So, God bless you, dear sister, and your family. And thank you for encouraging us this morning.
I'm just going to wait until she brings it out.
Yeah. We're waiting for the book, Ranjini. We're waiting for the book. Now, I know it's 10:45, but we're going to finish the service with the song Shout to the Lord, which seems to be an appropriate song to finish with. We'll just sing it through the once. So would you like to stand, if you're able to, and sing with us?
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you all of my days. I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship. Bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the
a promise I have. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Nothing compares to the promise we have in you.
For our benediction today, I have chosen one that at least comes from, to my estimation, 150 years ago, perhaps longer than that. And for those who are who love the prayer book, the Anglican prayer book, will understand it well. Go forth into the world in peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honour everyone. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you. Amen.
Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord, and have a wonderful day and a good week, or a wonderful week if you like.